Nama Om Vishnu Padaya, Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine, Namaste Saraswate Deve, Gauravani Pracharane, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi, Paschatya Deshatarane. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Trinadda Pisunichena Taror Iva Sahishnuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari, Hare Nama Hare Nama Iva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyeva, Nastyeva, Nastyeva Gatir Anyata. This is a narration from the book describing the different Akadashis, chapter 16, Padma Akadashi. Yudhishthira Maharaj said, O Keshava, what is the name of the Akadashi that occurs during the light fortnight of the month of Ashad, June, July? Who is the worshipable deity for this auspicious day, and what is the process of observing it? Lord Sri Krishna replied, O caretaker of this earthly planet, I shall gladly tell you the wonderful history that Lord Brahma once narrated to his son Naradaji. One day, Narada asked his father, What is the name of the Akadashi that comes during the light part of the month of Ashad? Kindly tell me how I shall observe this Akadashi, and thus I may please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Lord Brahma replied, O great orator, O best of all sages, O purest devotee of Lord Vishnu, your question is excellent. There is nothing better than Akadashi, the day of Lord Hari, in this or any other world. It nullifies even the worst of sins if it is observed properly. For this reason, I shall tell you about Ashad Shukla Ekadashi. Fasting on this Ekadashi day purifies one of all sins and fulfills all of one's desires. Therefore, whoever neglects to observe this sacred fast day is a good candidate for entering hell. Ashad Shukla Ekadashi is also famous as Padma Akadashi. Just to please Rishikesha, the master of the senses, one should fast on this day. Listen carefully, O Narada, as I relate to you a wonderful history from the scriptures concerning this Akadashi. Just hearing this account destroys all kinds of sins, along with all obstacles on the path of spiritual perfection. O son, there was once a saintly king in the Sun Dynasty whose name was Mandhata. Because he always stood up for the truth, he was appointed emperor. He took care of his subjects as though they were his very own children. On account of his piety and great religiosity, there was no pestilence, drought, or disease of any kind in his kingdom. All of his subjects were not only free of all kinds of disturbances, but also very wealthy. The king's own treasury was free of any ill-gotten money, and thus he ruled happily for many years. Once, however, because of some sin in his kingdom, there was a drought for 3 years. The subjects found themselves beset by famine. The lack of food grains made it impossible for them to perform the Vedic sacrifices. It made it impossible to offer oblations to their forefathers and the demigods. It made it impossible to engage in any ritualistic worship or even study the Vedic literatures. Finally, they all became before their beloved king. In a great assembly, they said, "O King, you always see to our welfare, so we humbly beg your assistance now. Everyone and everything in this world needs water. Without water, almost everything is rendered useless or dead. The Vedas call water Nara, and because the Supreme Personality of Godhead sleeps upon water, his name is therefore Narayana. It is God who makes his own abode on water and takes his rest there. It is said that three things cannot exist without water: pearls, human beings, and flour. The essential quality of a pearl is its luster, and that is due to water. The essence of a man is his semen, which the main constituent is water. And without water, flour cannot be made into dough and then cooked and eaten. Sometimes water is called Jala Narayan, the Supreme Lord in the form of water. In his form as clouds, the Supreme Lord is present throughout the sky and pours forth rain from which the grains that maintain every living entity. O King, this severe drought has caused a great lack of valuable grains. Thus we are all miserable and the population is decreasing. O best ruler on earth, please find some solution to this problem and bring us peace and prosperity once again." The king replied, "You all speak the truth, for grains are like Brahman, the Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth lives within grains and thereby sustains all living beings. Indeed, it is because of food grains that the entire world lives. Now, why is there a terrible drought in our kingdom? The holy scriptures discuss this subject very thoroughly. If a king is irreligious, both he and his subjects suffer. I have been meditating upon this for quite some time, and I have come upon the cause of our problem. But after searching my past and present character, I can honestly say that I find no sin. Still, for the good of all of you subjects, I shall try to remedy the situation." Thinking in this way, King Mandhata assembled his army and entourage. He paid his obeisances to Lord Brahma and then entered the forest. He wandered here and there, seeking great sages in their ashrams and inquiring about how to resolve the crisis in his kingdom. At last, he came upon the ashram of one of my other sons, Angira Muni, whose effulgence lit up all directions. Seated in his hermitage, Angira looked like a second Lord Brahma. King Mandhata was very pleased to see that exalted sage, whose senses were completely under control. The king immediately dismounted his horse and offered his respectful obeisances to the lotus feet of Angira Rishi. Then the king joined his palms and prayed for blessings. That saintly person reciprocated by blessing the king with sacred mantras. Then he asked him about the welfare of the seven limbs of his kingdom. The seven limbs of a king's domain are the king himself, his ministers, his treasury, his military forces, his allies, the brahmanas, the sacrifices performed in his kingdom, and the seventh, the needs of his subjects. After telling the sage how the seven limbs of his kingdom were faring, King Mandhata asked about the sage's own happiness. Then Angira Rishi asked the king why he had undertaken such a difficult journey into the forest. The king told him of the affliction his kingdom was suffering. The king said, "O great sage, I am ruling and maintaining my kingdom while following the Vedic injunctions, and thus I do not know the reason for the drought. To solve this mystery, I have approached you for help. Please help me and relieve the suffering of my subjects." Angira Rishi then said to the king, "The present age, Satya Yuga, is the best of all ages. It is in this age that Dharma, religion, stands on all four legs: truthfulness, austerity, mercy, and cleanliness. In this age, everyone respects the Brahmins as the topmost members of society, and everyone fulfills their occupational duties. But only twice-born Brahmins are allowed to perform Vedic austerities and penances. Although this is the standard, O lion among kings, there is one Sudra who is unlawfully performing the rites of austerity and penance in your kingdom. This is why there is no rain in your land. You should therefore punish this Sudra with death. For by doing so, you will remove the contamination and restore the peace to your subjects." The king replied, "How can I kill an offenseless performer of austerity? Please give me some spiritual solution." The great sage Angira said, "O king, you should observe a fast on the Akadashi that occurs during the light fortnight of the month of Ashad. This auspicious day is named Padma Akadashi, and by its influence, plentiful rains will surely return to your kingdom. This Akadashi bestows perfection upon its faithful observers. This Akadashi removes all kinds of bad elements, and this Akadashi destroys all obstacles on the path to perfection. O king, you yourself, your relatives, and your subjects should all observe this sacred Akadashi fast. Then everything in your kingdom will undoubtedly return to normal." Upon hearing these words, the king offered his obeisances and then returned to his palace. When Padma Akadashi arrived, King Mandhata assembled all the Brahmin, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Sudras in his kingdom. and instructed them to strictly observe this important fasting day. After they had observed it, rains fell just as the sage had predicted. In due course of time, there were abundant crops and a rich harvest of grain. By the mercy of the Supreme Lord, Rishikesha, the master of the senses, all the subjects of King Mandata became extremely happy and prosperous. Therefore, O Narada, everyone should observe this Ekadashi fast very strictly, for it bestows all kinds of happiness as well as ultimate liberation upon the faithful devotee. Lord Sri Krishna then concluded, "My dear Yudhisthira, Padma Ekadashi is so powerful that one who simply reads or hears about its glories becomes completely sinless. O Pandava, one who wishes to please me should strictly observe this Ekadashi, which is also known as Devashayani Ekadashi, for it indicates the day when Lord Vishnu goes to sleep with all the demigods. O lion among kings, whoever wants liberation should regularly observe a fast on this Ekadashi day, which is also the day when the Chaturmasya fast begins." Thus ends the narration of the glories of Ashada Shukla Ekadashi, which is also known as Padma Ekadashi or Devashayani Ekadashi, which is contained from the Bhavishya Uttara Purana. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.